So just to do a little bit of chazara from last time, because there are two points that I wanted to follow up on from last time. We started out with the three principal sources that get everything going. Shabbos Daf Tezvav, which has glass compared to pottery, because it's made from sand and it becomes tame. And really, that's a Tuma discussion in Shabbos Tezvav Mubeis. Second was Avodah Zara Ayin Hei Mubeis, which was regarding Tevilas Kalim, and it said that glass can be melted and repaired like metal, and therefore it is compared to metal. And then you had Avos Rabbi Nasan, which said glass does not absorb, and it doesn't exude either. So it's neither pottery nor metal. It's really bria bifnei atzmo. It's its own thing. Because if it was pottery, then it would absorb. And if it was metal, then it would absorb and exude. And he's telling me it does neither. So we had four different approaches to these three sources. One approach was to say, in a chanami, it doesn't absorb, it does not exude, like Avos Rabbi Nasan, and therefore kashering is not necessary, not year-round, not Pesach, not nothing. That was Tosus's view, that was the Machaber's view in Shulchan Aruch. The second approach was to say, no, it's like metal, it absorbs, and it also exudes, and that was the position that the Ritva took following the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, and therefore permitting kashering. And we also had this side note from the Bala Itur, where the Bala Itur says that you could do triple hagala on cheres, on pottery, that's an eno benyomo, if you're dealing with a drabbanon that doesn't have a biblical root. And the Aruch HaShulchan discussed that, remember that we talked about it last time. I mentioned also the Malamed Dehoil. The third view is that it absorbs and it exudes like metal, but kashering still shouldn't be done, either because we're afraid that you won't kasher it with sufficient strength because you're worried about breaking it, that was the Ritva quoting the Ra'a, or because the whole thing about it is a suffix, and therefore we go l'chomer, that was Rabbeinu Yonah's position in the Isser V'Heter. And then the fourth position was that it absorbs, it does not exude, in other words, we treat it like pottery, and therefore kashering is impossible. And that was Rabbeinu Yechiel Mipariz quoted in the Mordechai. I wanted to update two things that I had said last time. Number one was actually the part that I quoted from the Prima Gadim was not the key part. When we talked about the Prima Gadim, in discussing the question of glass that is placed over an actual flame, right? When we were dealing with the first view, the view that kashering is not needed, it never absorbs. So Shlomo Kluger contended that the Shulchan Aruch's kula regarding glass, that it doesn't absorb, doesn't apply if the glass is used with high heat. And I said then that Rav Avadya rejects this interpretation of the stance of the Shulchan Aruch, quoting the Prima Gadim. So I saw it in an earlier part of the Prima Gadim, but the truth of the matter is it's explicit in the later part of the Prima Gadim. I didn't read far enough, and therefore if you take a look, did I include it on what I sent out today? No, I did not include it in the one that I sent out today, but the rest of the line in that Prima Gadim is really what you should have seen. I'm just looking to see what source number it was on the old sheet and realizing I don't have the old sheet in front of me. It was Tess? Yeah, it was Tess, thank you. So the last words that belong in that Prima Gadim are V'apri chadash posei kamachaber. That the Prichadash follows the Machaber, meaning that glass does not absorb and does not exude. Mashma da'afilu shimsho b'kli rishon. It sounds like even if you used it as a kli rishon, kilif amim yucholasos kain, because that is possible in certain circumstances, even though it's glass, that it will endure as a kli rishon. Shiavalo balat still won't absorb. So it's an explicit statement that he's making. When I was doing the source sheet, I didn't go far enough. So that was one update. The other update was regarding Rabbi Jachter. I'd said last time that on the last position, the position that glass absorbs but does not exude, in other words, we're going to treat it like cheres. So we asked the question of why adopt Shabbos Tesvav, right, as the primary model, right, where that's the one regarding Tuma. And it says it's like cheres. Why adopt the model of pottery and reject the other models? So I told you then that in my notes I had written in when I gave a shiur on the topic years ago that Rabbi Jachter discusses it. So I looked back. Basically, his argument is that because it relates to the basic nature of glass being made from sand, the way that pottery is made from sand, therefore it would resonate with Rabbeinu Yechiel Mipariz, just because it fits from an observation standpoint the very character of glass. That was his position. which you could argue, because the other ones also relate to the character of glass.
The character of glass, if you can work in an entombment higher than you would say is in, like, the Matthias of Patras.
Why?
Just because it's arbitrary. We have, like, rules of absorption and what can absorb. I'm going to think of physical substance and its capacity to absorb. I'm not talking about the metaphysical character.
That's funny. I would have gone exactly the opposite direction. I would have expected that kashrus, which deals with is there absorption or not, has more to do with its basic nature than tumah and tahara, which is weird, floaty stuff that, you know, has no relationship to reality anyway.
Rabbi Kamdina or Matthias?
There you go. I mean, that's in the end when you deal with kashrus, you have to deal with kamdina, and there's no way around the fact that there are certain elements in kashrus which you're not going to be able to explain scientifically. It's just we declare that this matters, and we declare that this does not matter. And as I state, that's the as they say in Israel, the if you can come up with a systematic way to deal with everything, that would be great. The unified theory of kashrus and physics. Not that we haven't tried. Okay, so what we've started with this time is the question of what the Rama believed when the Rama said that it cannot be kashered, right? We saw the position of the Shulchan Aruch, and we saw the Rama say that that we are strict. But what's pshat in this Rama? How do I look at this Rama? We saw it already last time. The Rama's own statement from Orachaim Tafnun Aleph Chavav, saying that glass doesn't, the Shulchan Aruch saying it doesn't absorb, and the Rama saying that some authorities rule strictly, and that's our minhag in Ashkenaz. So, of the four views that we quoted, which one is he following? And it's going to matter, particularly when we get to discuss Pyrex.
Where do we see the Rama?
Tafnun Aleph Chavav.
Yeah.
You see it?
Yeah, I'm looking for the Ramah.
It was source Vav. Haga. V'yesh machmir v'orim dekli zechuch hesafilu haga ala lo mahani lehu v'chein ha-minag b'ashnaz b'din ha-zeilu. So Rav Ovadia contends that the Ramah is following the third view. The view that the truth is glass is kasherable in theory. However, the Ritva, quoting the Ra'ah, says that still where you're not going to kasher it properly. That's the position that the Ramah is taking. So take a look at source Aleph, where Rav Ovadia writes, Va'od ani omer, shafilu l'minag achinu ha-ashkenazim, dinakti kemanda omer, it's very nice. Ashkenazim tend to call them cousins. Svaram tend to call Ashkenazim brothers. There's something in this. But the, I don't know what it is. But he says, Va'odani Omer, Sha'afil, just don't sell us. The Va'odani Omer, Sha'afil, Minagachinu Ashkenazim, Dinakti, Kemanda, Omer, Dekle Zechuchas, Lomahani, Lehushum, Hechsher. He says, even within the view of the Ashkenazim who say that glass can't be kashered, V'nachsham Kalecheres, Hainu Mishum, Dechaishilach Shiram, Bahagala. That's because they're afraid to kashru them using Hagala, Mishum Dilma Paki, because they might split, V'chayis Alayu Sholach Shirun Heitev, and therefore they're not gonna do a real kashering, they'll do a light kashering. That's the concern that Rav Ovadia identifies. He says that's what's going on in the Rama. However, the Mishnah Berurah, following on the heels of the Gra.
When you said the third opinion, what are you referring to?
The opinion that says that theoretically they're kasherable, but we don't do it anyway.
From above, we listed these four.
Right.
That directly links to one of the original Gemara.
No, it's really saying that, well, I suppose if you have to tie it to one of them, it's going to tie it to saying it's like metal. Right? To Avodah Zarah. That's the one that it would really be adopting. So, the Gra in Tafnun Aleph Nun, the Mishnah Berurah in Tafnun Aleph, I apologize, in the heading I didn't put in the Sif Katan, it's Sif Katan Kuf Nun Dalet, is the Mishnah Berurah, and the Aruch HaShulchan as well, in Tafnun Aleph Nun, all disagree. And they say, V'yesh Machmir, and that's the quote from the Ramah, Hatam Desvirle Deklei Zechuchis, Ha'olu Tchilas Briyaso Min HaChol, Hayo Kikli Cheres, She'eno Yotzi Midei Dofio Le'olam. their view is that glass, since it's made from sand, is like klicheres, is pottery, and therefore it can never be kashered. V'afilo ayidei hagala. V'afagam t'tashmisho b'tzonein, granted that we use it with cold, v'komakam l'famim mishtamshim b'em b'cham, and sometimes it's used with hot, v'komashkaza b'sif chavhei b'hagah, t'choshin afu tashmisheno kavua. It's a separate point regarding kashering. If I have an item that's usually used with cold and occasionally used with warm, with hot, do I have to treat it like something used with hot for kashering? And he says yes, even though that's not the normal use. So the Mishnah Berurah's view is that the Rama is actually saying glass is pottery, like Rabbi Yechiel Paris. You follow? That's his statement. Now that view is problematic. This is a little bit of a tangent, but it's worth noting because of the position of the Rama in Yerideya. The Rama in Yerodeah Kuf Lamed Hey Ches deals with the case of glass that held non-kosher wine. And there, he's Mekil. So I don't understand. If you believe that glass is pottery, so if you have pottery that holds non-kosher wine, it requires kashering, breaking, whatever you're going to do with it, is the din that we have to come back to. But why didn't he say that it's not kosherable?
There was talking about, but yeah, meaning here it seems like the fact that you don't throw it out. You're afraid of eating wine.
So I don't think he's the only bit the evidence there. I didn't bring it on your sheet. I'm not sure why I didn't bring it. But I'll pull it now off of the Bar Ilan. But I believe he's dealing with Lachat Chila. Kuf Lamed Hey Ches. I'm sorry. He's not dealing with anything. It's that he doesn't object to the Shulchan Aruch there. The Shulchan Aruch writes, some say that they're only strict regarding pottery that holds wine long term, regarding a kli that holds wine long term, if it's pottery, but other materials don't have any such concern. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, and some add wood, and some add leather, and some add stone, and some add metal. But then the Shulchan Aruch concludes, avol shel zechuchis, but glass, l'divrei hakol ein machmirim bo b'shvil shemachniso l'kiyum. According to, he says, glass, no one is machmir on, even though it holds wine long term.
No, is machmir a kasher, or that becomes treif?
Well, either way.
There's probably much less.
It's that it's kashering. It's kashering, sorry.
There's probably much less of a kasher than you do when you put something on top.
So, no, you're saying because it absorbed cold?
Yeah.
Okay, so there are a couple of different views. The Magen Avraham's view, which I did bring you on the sheet. In source Gimel, says ve'ein ledamoso liyayin nesech. He says, don't compare the case that we are dealing with yayin nesech. See yaredeya simin kuf lamed hey ches. Dekama kulos hikilu biyayin nesech. Because we have all sorts of kulos regarding yayin nesech. There's derabon and mashein kein b'chametz, as opposed to when you're dealing with chametz, which is the context for his comments here. So he says you can't compare yayin nesech, which is really not yayin nesech. It's stam yeinam. Yeah, you can't make that comparison. It's basically wine is a weak derabanan, if anything. The Taz seems to say the same thing.
So where was it with that? You're down.
Kuf Lamed Hey Ches. Yeah, I really have to run it. In any case. Okay. So that's number one. And then the Aruch HaShulchan, I brought you in source Dalid, says, Rabbeinu Aramach Olek Bazeh, meaning on the point regarding Chametz, V'atam Dekeven Debriyasen Mechol Dinam Kekliheres, right, which I already noted before, that he says that the Rama is taking the view that glass is like Cheres. Ulufizeh, Gam Iroi Eino Mo'il, De'irilo Adif Me'Hagala. So filling and emptying, that's not going to do anything. It's no stronger than Hagala. Hagala doesn't work, neither does Milu V'Iroi. V'nira Dezeh Eino, Ela Kesheishtam Shubahen Bechamin. But he says this only makes sense if you're talking about used for hot, dilubitzonein, but if it was used for cold, lama biyayin nesach lo hechmir biyaredei asham. Why wasn't he strict regarding yayin nesach? So the Aruch HaShulchan implies that the difference between the wine case and the chametz case is, as Eitan suggested, that the wine is absorbed cold, whereas the chametz is absorbed hot. The Knesset HaGedola in Yerideya Kuf Chaf Aleph says the Rama was only strict regarding Pesach, and Sha'ar Yisru, and he wouldn't have been strict. He has a view that in general the Rama is strictest regarding glass, is Pesach specific. Okay. This business, though, about which view the Rama is following is going to matter when we get to Pyrex, so keep that in mind. Is it simply because he says you're not going to kosher it properly? Right, a concern that may not apply regarding Pyrex? Or is it because he believes glass is like clay, and therefore maybe Pyrex too? So we'll come back to that, God willing. So in terms of the Lemaisa on glass, now that we've seen four different approaches to those initial sources, and we've seen that the Shulchan Aruch stance is Mekel, and the Ramah stance is Machmir, so what do we do? So in that article that I mentioned, Rabbi Jachter's article in the RJJ Journal, he quotes Rav Aaron Felder, quoting Rav Moshe Feinstein, saying that glass need not be kashered from cold or from hot. It's a verbal thing. It's not. You won't find it in a tshuva of Rav Moshe. The general view seems to be that glass is kasherable, but not for Pesach.
No one will say lechatchila. I mean, the Sephardic kilo, there are people who use
lechatchila, kili. Right. So it's very. I don't know what to make of this quote from Rav Moshe, but in general, no. The if you take a look on your sheet at source Hey, I brought you the Svid Ayesh, who did have more tshuvos than the one on Kol Isha. He wrote a whole lot of tshuvos. So the Svid Ayesh in source Hey says, Hine, yiduo machlokes hamachaba v'harama. He says, everybody knows the machlokes that we've got, that we've already discussed at infinitum. And then he says, Umeata, b'chlei zechuches habetuchim me'esh shemevashlim bohem. So he says, if you're dealing with glass that is batuach me'esh, meaning that is safe on the fire for cooking, laharama gam hag'ala lo mahani lahem. So the Rama will say, too bad, you still can't kosher with them to dinam k'cheres, because it's like pottery. Elisha b'shulchan aruch yiradeya simen kuflamet hei siv ches, that's the one that I mentioned regarding the wine, mekel hamachaber b'klei zechuches afilu machniso l'kiyum. The machaber is lenient regarding glass. Ayin shamu b'tazu b'shach mishum dekasha v'shua ubliyasa mu'etas b'chol akelim, because it's a hard material, because it's smooth and it's going to absorb very little. V'hine al din zeh loheir haramaklum umash mashamaskim ala machaber b'zeh. And the Rama said nothing to object, so it sounds like he agrees. Shigako da'adami, which is always good in Pesach. V'lechora, l'fishi taso l'hachmir b'zechuches k'mo b'chli chares, taking his view that glass is the equivalent of pottery, ha'yelo l'hachmir gam b'chli chares, gam b'chli b'yayin nesach, v'makam sh'machniso l'kiyum. So he should have been strict with wine also, if it's kept in there long term. Shehu adin k'tashmisho b'chamin, it'll have the same halacha. Amnam, yesh lomar shirak b'yayin nesach ikilu, you could say it's only with wine he was making, k'mo sh'kasav ha'magin avram that we saw. Ula matzasi b'knesset ha'gedola, which I mentioned before, sharama lo hechmer el le'inyan Pesach, aval lo b'shar isurim. It was only a Pesach thing. V'chein hevi b'orachayim siman tafnun aleph, b'orachashayim, u'b'stechemet marachas hei, oschavtas b'shem sefer kahal Yehuda, shechumas harama eina elo le'inyan chametz, aval lo b'shar isurim. So that is the key point that he brings, is this idea, this view of the Knesset HaGedolah, that it's only for Pesach, ulefizeh. So based on that, bebasar v'chalav, yesh lahakel kamachaber ulahadir al yedei iroi. He says, basar v'chalav, we could be lenient with mashenki, machametz of Pesach, yesh lahachmer v'lo lahadir afilo al yedei hagala, as opposed to chametz of Pesach. There, he says, we wouldn't permit kashering at all. So that's the position of the Svid Ayesh. The Menchas Yitzchak as well. I brought you the Menchas Yitzchak in
Sukkot. Between the Ramah.
Yeah. Oh. Between wine and chametz. He says, yeah, the only time he's machmir is chametz.
There's no other. The original Ramah we saw here was by chametz?
By chametz. That was Rochaim Tafnun Aleph. Right. There is no discussion about it in other issues, but most of kashering is Hachos Pesach. So take a look at Vav. He says, "Ve'easy b'sefer Yerushas Pleita, Tshuva ba'arichus me'agon Moreno Harav Mordechai Brisk Av Beis Din Kodesh Tushnad." I don't know. Hashem Yikum Damo. Shemaskanaso Gamkein Lehetera Demahani Hagala Lablias Iser Bekelim Kaelu. His conclusion is indeed to permit, to say that Hagala works for Iser absorbed in such Kaelim. Behosif Sham Lomar Alpi Divraya Mishnebura Vesim and Tafnun Aleph Hebi Beshema Ritva Be'avodazara De'mahatir Klezachuchas Ba'agala Kevin Diyesh Chashash De'machayis Alav. We have this concern that maybe the person won't do the full Hagala. So he says that was true before they came up with glass that you could use on the fire, which isn't glass. I mean, that's Pyrex, Duralex, whatever, which we'll come to. But today we don't have any such concern. with these kalim. V'ein, I'm sorry. No, because you can use them on the fire. They'll survive. V'ein rachok lomar de'aminhog shehevi haramash lo lahagyo klei zechuches hu mechomi kawach hashashos haritva. He's suggesting, as Rav Avadya suggested, that really the Rambam was strict only because of the ritva's concern you won't do it properly. U'memela kevan de'bezechuches shanu danin ein chashash hazeh, but since this strong glass has no such concern, mela yamutir lahagyo af lepesach. Ach, Kevan de lo muva the poskim shum remez mi divrei aridva ein lazuz min aminog vein lahagil lepesach and lo b'shas hadchak dekdei abedami. However, you know what? I brought this incorrectly. I'm looking at this now and thinking he's not. I think I was fooled when by the language of zechukas and going too quickly. I think he's actually saying this only. His leniency is specifically regarding pyrex. He's giving me a pyrex leniency. He's not giving me a glass leniency. He's saying I'm not concerned Dil Mapaki because it's strong.
What other leniency are you looking for?
I thought he was saying that the heter is actually the whole thing was just we're worried about you kashering it inappropriately and that we're not really going to be concerned here.
Except for Paris, where else would you really have Basar B'chalav on glass?
Where else would you have? Sorry, say this again.
How else would you have Basar B'chalav in glass if not for Paris?
So they suggest, I think I even have it in a source that we're going to see, that they suggest that you can put glass over a flame as long as you ease it in. It's not the heat, it's the transition in temperature that causes it to crack.
I'm not talking about the cushions, I mean, how would it become treif in the first place?
How would it become treif in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, I guess a plate you could use for butter and then challah.
I'm sorry, say this again.
How would you trape it? If someone can't go on fire, how would you trape it up in the first place?
No, but I'm saying if someone could. If someone was able to ease it in and then it would properly warm the food.
But you're gonna ease it in to trape it up? It doesn't sound like that would happen by accident.
No, he's easing it in because he thinks he's working with kashers. He thinks with kosher food. And then it turns out he made a mistake.
Uh-huh.
He used the meat, he used the dairy, whatever it was. Yeah, it's not...
The Minchas Yitzchak wouldn't let you use it in again for kasher.
The Minchas Yitzchak would say to you... Well, the Minchas Yitzchak is saying it's kasherable, just not for Pesach. And for Pesach, he's saying tzarechian. He's not saying don't do it.
So even for non-pyrex, you're saying even if it's something you have to use in?
No. What I'm saying now is that this should not be applied to glass. The Minchas Yitzchak statement is specifically regarding pyrex. The Sweet Ayesh was the one who was glass. Yeah, but I think the Minchas Yitzchak here, as I brought the excerpt, unless I look back in the original Tshuva and find something to indicate otherwise, I think the Minchas Yitzchak is specifically regarding pyrex. This excerpt, it's clear. He says, I'm not concerned, this is going to break.
Are you distinguishing between pyrex and glass in terms of different, that they're actually different things, or just one is safer on fire?
No, one is one you can put on fire, one you cannot.
Because the Sridesh said that we're dealing with glass that is safe on fire, but you're saying not necessarily calling that pyrex, just calling it glass that is safe.
No, the Sridesh mentioned such things, but then he went back to talk about regular glass. He went back to the Rama afterwards. You see that? That's the difference. Yeah. Okay. So I wouldn't quote the Minchas Yitzchak as being the Mekel here. I don't think he is, at least based on what I'm seeing here and what I remember from the Tshuva. The Rav Schechter is quoted in that article by Rabbi Jachter, without specifying whether this is Pesach or year-round. He says you can kosher glass by immersing it 3 times in boiling water. Assuming that it'll go in, you can do it. He's combining the view that glass doesn't need kashering, along with the Baal HaItter we saw last week that says that you can do Hagalah 3 times for pottery, so even if it is pottery, triple Hagalah works. He does not specify Pesach or year-round.
What is the Kitzer, what is it? The Diyav Gimel Haggadah. What does that mean?
So it's the Baal Eter that we saw. Did I mention the Yerushalmi last time? The Baal Eter is getting it from? How much did I bring from the tour last time?
I was just talking about this yesterday.
The Torah is getting it from the Torah is getting it from the Baal Eter who gets it from a Yerushalmi. The
Is it in one of the Rabbi Yeshivas? That's most of the sources.
If you want, I can go through it after with you. Yeah, you know where I did it? I brought it in the Aruch HaShulchan one. The Aruch HaShulchan Kuf Chaf Aleph, Chaf Aleph Chaf Zayin. That was where I brought the citation. But yes, the Torah getting it from the Yerushalmi that he quotes there. So, Ayin Sham. Okay. So, we've got the Sfida Yesh saying it's kasherable, although not for Pesach. We have Rav Shechter prescribing triple Haggadah. I'm going to come back to triple Haggadah also later on to talk a little bit more about how it's done. And then there's one more sheet, the Tzitz Eliezer quotes it from Rabbi Yehuda Leib Zirilson, and I brought it here on your sheet in Source Vav. It's the end of the tshuva. He quotes several different views that were stated regarding glass. And he says, Al pi harama, nikva v'nispashet ha-menag laharos legabe gi'ule kol ha-isurim ka'osam ha-machmirim shevi ha-beis yosef tekle zechuchas mitzad shetchilas b'yasa min ha-chol dinam kiklicheres asher aleim he'ida ha-tara she'in ha-balua yotzei midei dofyom al-yidei hag-ola bibli lismo klal amalas kle zechuchas tishihi. This is the view of Reb Zirilson, who he quotes with great respect, to say that that within the Rama's view, we view it as cheres, and no kulas, no kashering, flat. I also brought you the Star K's published position, in which the Star K writes, as you see here after Source Vav, that in pre-war Europe, glass was expensive, hard to obtain. They would kasher drinking glasses by immersing them in cold water for 3 periods of 24 hours. This is accomplished by submerging the glasses for one 24-hour period, emptying and refilling. I'm going to get back to the emptying and refilling. Well, the emptying and refilling is a separate point. I won't get back to it. But it's fresh water for another 24 hours, then another 24 hours. And he says it can't be used for Pyrex or glass that was used directly on the fire or in the oven. In general, kashering glasses is recommended only in cases of difficulty. That's their statement.
Glasses. Is that for Pesach, they're saying?
Well, it's interesting. Wherever glasses are readily available for purchase, special glasses for Pesach are preferable. This is a Pesach page. And what they're telling you is that in a case of tzarech, they would even be okay with you kashering glass for Pesach via milui ve'iroi gimel pamim.
It's only if you know that the glasses themselves are used for something.
Like, yes.
Like if you use them for cold during the year, then there's no bleed at all. So.
Assuming that you know you kept them separate and you were careful, or you just stop them in a kitchen.
I'm saying you had a vest. You didn't use them for, I don't know, like hot tea with milk.
But I'm asking, what is this a stam assumption, or I was makbid all year long?
You know. I mean, I'm not saying what the stam assumption is. I'm just saying is you know that these ones were not used for anything. You need to caution them at all.
So if you know for sure that they weren't used for anything, that you kept them cold, you kept them separate, and you only rinsed them, and you didn't put anything in there to stay in there for 24 hours or whatever it was, ostensibly no kashering would be needed. But I wouldn't trust myself that way. I don't remember what I did yesterday, let alone 10 months ago.
They say Corella's glass? That's a big fetish.
I was hoping to get to Corella at the end. We'll see whether we do.
Is that like glasses or plates? Corella
as a material. Yeah. Yeah. There's more to be said, but yes. Okay. I have more also later on where I bring more from the Starkhead. They're always very good to quote. They like putting things in print and putting things online. They're the best of the Vad in that regard. Okay, so that's where I am with glass. Okay, we understand now. We've got these different theories: is it metal? Is it pottery? Is it so strong it doesn't absorb? And that leads us to these varying conclusions as to what we're actually going to do with it. What happens with Pyrex or a material called Duralex? I didn't know a whole lot about Duralex before, so that's why I gave you that reference to an article about Duralex. Apparently, this was a huge, huge thing. For decades and decades, and still in some parts of the world is today. It's much more a Europe thing, I think, than a North America thing.
it's like pyrexis, I think.
So, right. So the chemistry of it is that it's a standard glass makeup. Well, first of all, pyrex. Pyrex is standard glass. It's quartz, sodium carbonate, calcium carbonate, but then they add impurities like boron. There actually are different kinds. There's borosilicate, and then there's another one. Borosilicate is the one that the post-com seem to be working with. But the Tzitz Eliezer starts his tshuva on this, which is... I understand. So hang on for a second. For goodness sake, he makes a gesture and then suddenly you have to stop. The Tzitz Eliezer has a long discussion of this in the beginning of his tshuva, Teschav Vav, which was written in 1965, which surprised me because I didn't know they even had like fine advanced materials in 1965. But the Tzitz Eliezer starts his tshuva with a long citation from experts who say that basically pyrex is glass, that the metal impurities that are in the pyrex are not having any effect on the ability of pyrex to withstand high heat, so much so that he actually says that there are less, the lower level of metal impurity in pyrex than there is in regular glass. So one shouldn't make the mistake of thinking that there's more metal in pyrex and therefore we view it as a clay matachas. He says, number one, it isn't affecting the ability to withstand the heat. And number two, there's actually less metal in pyrex than there is in regular glass. Why then is pyrex able to withstand the changes in temperature? So he says is the borosilicate that's in it. It's not that there's more of the impurity than in glass, but it's a particular kind of an impurity that lends in this that lends it this ability. That's his argument regarding the pyrex. As far as Duralex, he says Duralex gains its strength because of the process of forming the glass, the way that it is formed. And in the tshuva piece that I excerpt here, you'll see more about that in just a moment. But that's the idea. If you take a look at what I brought you here from the Tzitz Eliezer in Sor Zion, that I think will help to clarify it further. He says, Loma Baya Beklei HaDuralex. You see that in Zion? Shani Mavin Mitov Dire Michtavo. He says, I understand from your letter that you wrote to me. Michtavo is just the honorific. It's second person. Shashapir Modish Shema'urav Behem Yoser Chomer Matechti Miklei Zechuches Regila. Viraktoe Shalozeu Shemanik Lematchuna Habilti Shavir. He says, Duralex, I understand from what you wrote to me that Duralex does have more metal than regular glass. You're just saying that that's not what gives Duralex its ability to withstand the heat. It's the way it's formed that does. Dibivade chamurim hem yosem ikle zechuches v'din klima tachas lahem. So he says they are going to be stricter than a glass, taking the view that glass doesn't absorb. Right. But this will be worse. It'll be metal. Ela filu klei ha-pyrex, but even pyrex, hagamsha lefi divrei chavodo machilim harbe pachos tarchoves matechtiyot me'asher zechuchit regila. Granted that, according to him, according to this expert, pyrex has less, much less metal in it than glass does. Gamkein afilu achi din klei matchus lem. Nonetheless, they are still going to have the status of metal. Vihu. And he says, and the reason for this is, in parentheses you see, this is the reason for both pyrex and Duralex to view both them as metal. B'hiyos sharoim sh'amivnesh alahem shonehu b'tachlis me'amivnesh shal zechuchis regila. Their structure is fundamentally different from the structure of regular glass. Ba'ofen sh'nosein makom lachshosh she'elem teva klei zechuchis pshutim she'kiblu alehem ela ha'poskim d'shi'i v'lo bali. He says, since I see that the makeup of the glass is different from the makeup of the pyrex, therefore I have no reason to assume that the special character that we've assigned to glass, saying it's smooth and non-absorbent, I have no reason to assume that that's true for pyrex. It was a chiddush when they said it regarding glass. If pyrex is really so fundamentally different from glass, then maybe this trait also doesn't apply. This idea that it doesn't absorb, on which the Sfaradim depend to be so lenient. He says, you only have the chiddush of glass being Shiv lo Bali. I realize that it's a remarkable statement because we think of Shiv lo Bali not as a chiddush of halacha, but as an observation. No, I thought this was funny also. But take a look at the second part, because the second part adds a physics element, which I thought was fascinating. He says the whole idea that we're going to say glass is not absorbent at all, right? Taking of us Rabbi Nasan. He says that's a chiddush. And if I am now dealing with something which is different in its structure, whether it's different because of metallic impurities or whether it's different because of its the way it was formed, I don't care. Fundamentally, it displays different physical characteristics. Then maybe that which they said in Avos Rabbi Nasan, that glass is non-absorbent, isn't true for Pyrex.
Why is that such a chiddush?
Why is it a chishrim to say that? Or was it because I would have thought that Shiv lo Bali was a physical observation. You can make the same physical observation regarding Pyrex.
Well, if you can, you can. If you can't, you can't. Isn't that what you just said?
Well, he hasn't done any tests. He hasn't told us how to do a test. All he has said is there's this idea. Now, he's going to give you a physics basis in this next paragraph. But he hasn't so far. But watch what he says in the next paragraph. I would love to go over this with an engineer. Anybody in engineering? No. No luck. All right. Ve'ela hadvarim shara'isi he's a stem cell. Ve'ela hadvarim shara'isi le'echod mumche ve'gam tamar chacham shakosei bazeh. So he says, I consulted an expert who also was a tamar chacham. And this is what he wrote. Choshvani shalachin yesh l'chalik bein duralex l'chomer l'bein zechuches regila. He says, I think there is reason to distinguish between duralex, saying that will be strict, as opposed to regular glass. I don't know about Pyrex and what he would do with that. Ki amivnesh shal duralex shoneu betachlis me'amivnesh shal zechuches regila. Because duralex has a fundamentally different nature to it. Kasher nishbar kli shal duralex, when you break duralex, nishbar hu l'chatichos ketanos, it breaks into small pieces. Ke'en gvishim bifnei atzmam, like individual lumps. Venira hadavar ki ilu haya kliaduralex asui me harbe gevishim ketanim ke'ela shechubru yachad. He says duralex appears to me to be made of small individual pieces that are joined together. Masha'enkein b'tzura uba'ofen shenish beres b'hem z'chuches regila, as opposed to if you break regular glass, sheyesh b'hem b'chdei l'ha'id al gush shal gevish echad l'chol ha'kli kulo, where when you break glass, it looks like it's one big thing that broke. Now, I don't know what he means by that. I can think of a lot of different ways I've seen glass break. I think it depends a lot on the structure. You know, like, are you talking about a heavy measuring cup? Are you talking about a goblet? I'm not at all clear on what he is saying. I'm bringing it more because of the message of what he's saying than because I understand it. He says, Mistaber shamivne hazeh shel hadoralex hu hamasagelo so lamod bitnai hevdelei chom pitomiyim sheyesh baharakam mikli rishon lesochav. So he says, you know, it makes sense to say that that's why Duralex can withstand great heat. Why? What?
It doesn't sound
like
a
mumcheh.
It sounds like...
No, Rabbi, just wait.
He's a student.
Stop it. Listen to what he says first. Harei v'chom z'chuches shemivneyu meharbe perurim o gvishim ketanim shechubru l'gush echad gadol. He says if you're dealing with glass, which is made up of a lot of different, literally, crumbs or small pieces that have been joined to make one big form, tia ha'israchlus mipas ha'delayachom rakin yan mikomi uzmani mevutal shekol shalkol gavshish. He says, if this is really true, that there is more space between the pieces, the molecules that are making up this glass, this Duralex, sorry, then when it expands as a result of exposure to heat, the expansion can be tolerated by the material. I mean, that is basic material science. That's not the Tzitzeliezer's Chiddush. But the idea is that if you have more space, you have the ability to absorb the expansion that's going on between the parts. And then as he continues, however men who take it from Yad, like Vishim Shabakir Vaso, it will then pass from the heat will be communicated and it will be tolerated and absorbed. Velachin Yuchalamo Kleyadurlex, Shem Mivnez Hukitchalo Hukazet. Therefore, a Duralex with this kind of a glass structure will be able to stand neged tenae chom pitomiyim shabaharakam. Clearly shown, it will be able to tolerate the sudden changes of heat that occur when something is poured from a kli rishon into it. Shinoi mivne zeh shebachomer hazchuchis yikbar gam es hadin shel blia. Umishum kach yesh lachshosh beduralex al blia mashenkin bachomer hazchuchis regila. So now the expert writes to him, saying, if this is the understanding of why Duralex is able to tolerate heat, well, in that case, it may also be more absorbent because it has the gaps. That's where the absorption is going to be absorbed. I think that what I really need to do, I need to speak to my material science expert. I'm going to check this with my material science expert.
We don't believe in air that take Blios.
Sorry?
I hear. We believe metal can take Blios, but glass can't take Blios. But air pockets in glass can take Blios, and that's how we'd worry.
Yeah. It's not air pockets. It's that there is, within the substance itself, the molecules aren't that close together. It's not the same thing as saying it's an air pocket.
But molecules of glass couldn't take Blios. It has to be the...
Yeah.
But I mean, the substance... You
know, it's a denser material versus a less dense material. That's the argument.
Is that why we say metal is Pelé and glass is not? Isn't that a Chiddush Torah?
Well, that's the question. That's the fundamental question.
Glass is Shia. That means it's totally closed off, right? That's the idea of why we say glass is Shia.
Yes.
Also, then, because we treat something that's like Nibla and like a hole in something different than Nibla in a pot.
Right.
Like,
the whole thing is remarkable. I do have to consult. I want to see what he says to me.
The Matthias is that Pyrex, you see it. It turns colors. Like, it's not... It obviously does, is Balea. Like, your Pyrex isn't clean after a few times of using it.
Is that true?
Yeah. You could see, like, a brown tinge inside.
Interesting. And that's inside or on the surface? Because
no,
you're not
inside,
cleaning it well.
You can't touch it. Like, it's inside.
Might be time to do the dishes.
Okay. He says, Nidmesha Dvarim Dabrim Ba'adam. So Tzitz Eliezer says, and Rabbi Baruch will definitely agree, the words speak for themselves. And he says, this changing the structure is going to change what the law is. We have very little basis to go on, which I second the motion. So on this basis, the Tzitz Eliezer says that there is reason to be strict regarding Duralex. And I'm gonna consult an expert because I don't wanna stop Shear for the Shear for the chipusim. That's the at least let me get through Pyrex today. Then you can go back to that. So the Tzitz Eliezer himself offers two leniencies in Source Ches. He says, Miu al yidei hagala efshar lahatir bechle hadoralex. He says, via Hagala, you could be lenient regarding Duralex. Ubezeh biyose bechleya Pyrex, and all the more so with Pyrex. Biyos she'ein bahem chshash al dilma paki v'dilma chayiz. Because the concern that we had, if we accept that the Ramah was concerned that it might break, it won't be done properly, he says that won't be relevant when you're dealing with Pyrex. Biyos v'derach tashmishim b'kach al-gabay ha'esh, because people use it on the fire. Sorry?
I never understood that thing to start with, because the way it was kosher, the way it became treif is the way you're going to kosher it, to a certain extent.
Meaning, so, it's not, and that's not true. If I'm going to require hagala for glass, right, that's not the way that it absorbed.
How did it absorb?
It absorbed, let's say, kavash kamavushal.
Maybe you need hagala for that.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you say you could do kavash for that?
Like, no. That's merely v'iroi through gimel pamim, yeah. But then I don't have the fear of Dilmapaki. Dilmapaki is a Hagala fear.
So other than Kavush, though, is there any way, like, if it was, I guess, a cliche, like a glass plate, so you're not going to let you kusher it like a cliche.
So he says, Vahagala hi b'kaderach tashmishan. Hagala is, in fact, the way that these, you know, Pyrex, Duralex things are used. The Ukvar Helu Livso came b'sfarmi rishas ha-plata, habalim bani imim, minchas Yitzchak. That was minchas Yitzchak that I quoted before. Because he's right, the Menchas Yitzchak is about Pyrex, not about glass. And then he saw Pesach kaslu behistaygut. when it came to Pesach, they retreated a little bit. Hasheris haplata machmir, v'menchas Yitzchak matir rak bishas hadchak. They're not so willing to do this for Pesach. Aval b'chol hashana im nasir matir b'hagala afil lachatchila. And then he says, and this is his second point, ukvar pursam psak halacha shapasak gamba zeh agon rtzi Pesach frankzal, mishay rabba shal Yerushalayim. So he says, even Pesach, the Tzitzeli Ezer quotes with Tzvi Pesach Frank, permitting for even for Pesach with triple Haggalah. That's the Tzitzeli Ezer.
It's much more important for us, not his svarim, no? Like, his science is a science. We'll just do our, that's the simon that we should use our science. But I think what's much more important for us is what's his svara based on his science, and that's like so hard to figure out.
Well, his svara, no. I think his initial svara is to say, I'm looking at viewing glass as a as being absorbent, like a klimateches.
Here he's viewing the weird glass.
Like, yeah, the weird glass, the Pyrex. That's what I'm talking about, yes.
That's only because of the way he understands it. If it was regular glass...
If it was regular glass,
he'd make on regular glass.
Make it, yeah. It sounds like he's
He started in?
No, but he's going within that view here.
Is this ignoring the Ramah altogether?
Certainly when he's dealing with the kashering question, yes. I don't have a chew from the Sithli Ezer on glass. But the mashmaos here is he's going within the view that you could kasher glass and saying that won't help you regarding Pyrex. Because Pyrex he wants to view as a quasi-metal in the first part that I quoted here before he comes back in his ending and says, but on the other hand, if it's metal, then you could do Hagala. So do Hagala. And then he says the poskim are going to be okay with doing Hagala year-round. They're not so comfortable with Pesach. Barutzi Pesach Bank permits the triple Hagala. The Rav Avadya here says, "Oh, you crazy Ashkenazim!" The first in the part that I brought you here is from the Tshuva that we looked at last week, also, or Chayim Mem Aleph. So in Mem Aleph Tess, he says, "Frankly, I have no issue." It says, "Just as non-absorbent as glasses, and I don't care that it's used on a flame." And but the Tzitzli Ezer say whatever he wants. But in Yud, he writes, in Sifka and Yud, and I brought it here in Yud, V'odani omer sha'afilu minogachenu ha'ashkenazim denakti k'man da'omer dekleiz chuchas lo ma'ani lehu shum hechsher. Even according to, again, our brethren the Ashkenazim who say that it's like glass and therefore it can't be kashered. V'nechshavim k'klicheres. They take the view that glass cannot be kashered, it's like pottery. Hainu mishum dechayshilach shiram b'hagala. That's not because of the reason that that you view it as cheres, but rather it's because they're afraid of kashering it. Mishum dema paki v'chayisalayu shlalach shiran heitev. Right? They're concerned that they won't be kashered properly. K'mosh kasav ha-ritva b'shem ha-ra'ah. As the ritva said, quoting the ra'ah. If this sounds familiar, it was source Aleph today. But I brought it again because this was the second sheet. It just, that other part got ported from last week. But the point is that Rav Avadya says, again, like the Tzitz Eliezer is saying, it may be absorbent. But even if it is, it can be kashered. So that's the idea.
Will Rav Avadya tell Sfardim they can have glass everything in one set, l'chatchila?
I don't see why he wouldn't.
Glass Pyrex, it's not pots wouldn't really work out, but
I don't see why he wouldn't.
Glass plates and glass
baking dishes, and I don't see why he wouldn't. Unless unless I'm missing something in Rav Avadya, but I don't think so. Now the Vadim, in general, the Starkei, the OU, and the CRC all seem to treat Pyrex in their documents as being like glass. I brought you the Star K on here. The Star K says, this is a series of questions and answers with Rav Heinemann. Vosik for the Star K. There are many varieties of glass on the market. Do Arkarak, Duralex, Pyrex, Corel, Crystal have the halachic status of glass? Yes, they do. Next. Well, I guess I'll ask you about Melmac. No, not like is plastic. China earthenware, which we'll talk about. Corningware, he says, is China. The OU's position regarding in their Pesach document, they say that the following things can't be koshered, and they list glass, all forms, including, and they list Pyrex in their group, which ostensibly means if I am going to kosher glass, then I can also kosher Pyrex also. The COR has nothing in their 2013 Pesach guide regarding Pyrex.
That's less of a familiar, I think. They could say throwing it from reserve. They don't necessarily mean it's not as
Theoretically possible. No, I'll grant you that.
The Star Case saying... But the Star Case is still going to pass me for Ashkenazim. They're going to say you can use one Pyrex for meat and milk then, are they?
That you can use one Pyrex...
No, of course not.
No. They're Ashkenazim.
Pyrex is like China. It's like glass, meaning it's asshole.
Right.
I'm not sure why they need to say that China is not glass, but it's earthquake. It's the same thing.
Right.
So which way are they saying? They're saying it's like glass, and therefore what are the nafkaminas? Can it be kosher or can it not be kosher?
So again, I think what they're saying is that it can't be lechatchila, but if you have such a hat there...
They're not really saying anything. Maybe they hold the Rosh Hashanah, maybe they hold the Rosh Hashanah, maybe they don't. Like, all they're saying is it's like glass.
Yeah, does it say on the site whether, like, just
how to use it? They don't give you kulos. That's not what a website is for, that you have to ask your rabbi for. The CRC actually is less clear. I just loaded the CRC page, and what they actually write is under pots and pans, they say enameled pots and glass pots, e.g. Pyrex, cannot be koshered. The fact that they call it a glass pot does not mean that they're equating it with glass.
Well, if they're saying it can't be koshered, then they're equating it.
This is not a Pesach discussion, by the way. The CRC page is year-round.
Even more about the grip. They hold them and see that it's like
So it's very hard for me to accept that anybody is actually considering this to be klicheres.
Pyrex?
Yeah.
No, cannot be kosher. It's pretty...
I know, but still, it's very hard for me to accept that anybody can be calling this klicheres. The only one who's given us any reason to think it's klicheres is maybe if I take the Tzitz Eliezer's argument in a direction that he didn't intend to.
But if you say that...
It's only whether it's metal. If it's metal, it's kosherable.
But,
and you've gotten rid of my concern for kosher, for hagolah. And if it's glass...
Meaning,
to take the view that glass is cheres, if I take the view that glass is cheres, and I don't accept the chayshi dimapaki is nullified, then I guess I end up with a pottery thing. That's true. Then you can end up with a pottery thing. That's true.
Like, that, the star case thing is glass, but are they saying that al chumra hu, or just as a category, and then go from there, to paskin whatever you paskin on glass?
So, on that page that I gave you, as I recall, I'll load it now, but I recall that he has a further question there about koshering glass, and he says, ask your rabbi. Hold on one second, I'm loading the page. Yeah. If someone poured hot milk on a hot meat glass/Pyrex utensil, or hot meat on a hot dairy glass/Pyrex utensil, what should be done? Ask a Shiloh from your Rav. That's his answer.
How would you want to make the label right on the internet?
Quite possibly. All right, we're going to have to handle porcelain and China, God willing, next time, and then we'll discuss the Triple Haggalah in greater depth also, so we'll get back to that at that point.
So I'm in a...